Welcome back into the show. Final hour of the week. And we're celebrating a Denver Nuggets, Los Angeles Lakers victory, or Nuggets victory over the Los Angeles Lakers last night, 108 to 103. Jamal Murray was a superstar in that fourth quarter. He was that good. 37 for the Blue Arrow. He doesn't do that anymore, does he?
I don't think so.
Did he really get fined? Is that a real thing? Tanner said that today. He got fined for it? That's dumb. That's a sport. Archery is a sport. It's not always about shooting a bow and arrow at someone, or an arrow with a bow. That's dumb. Weird. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. So, if you're the Lakers today, you're watching film, you're going through it, what are you seeing? Are you seeing something that you can fix, or are you just hoping that Jamal Murray doesn't get stupid hot in the fourth quarter? I mean, the starting lineup probably changes again for Darvin Ham. I can't imagine. Well, I guess I can. Are you going to start Vanderbilt again? Because you're right. You cannot bring Hachimura off the bench to start, because then your bench is gone and they're depleted by the time you get, you know, late first, early second quarter.
It feels like the overall story of this game was that the Nuggets were down. They were down the whole time, but it's like they were down by 20 the entire time and they made this amazing comeback in the fourth. No, it was 5 at halftime. The Lakers were holding a steady lead throughout this game, but it's not like the Nuggets were completely shut down. No, they were still doing their things. It just wasn't at the pace that they wanted it.
Well, there was times, though, in the third where the Nuggets just didn't look right with what they were doing. Mm-hmm. Didn't look sure of themselves. They weren't, you know, Jamal would bring the ball down, dribble. It was congested in the lane, and they weren't sure when to get it to Joker, how to get it to Joker, and then what would happen after that. And even Joker at times was like, I got it here at the top of the paint. Where is everybody? Like, and that's, I think that again, that goes a lot onto Aaron Gordon. He totally looked lost with what they were trying to do with Anthony Davis floating around at times. And Davis still guarded Joker one-on-one a lot. But there were just times where I'm like, Aaron can't figure out how to insert himself into the game.
So I'll go back to what I said after game one about Malone not playing his hand too early when the Lakers adjusted late in that game. Is this something similar where Malone is letting the Lakers make adjustments and Malone is kind of like, all right, let's see what we can do for now. If we need to do something quickly, we can do that, but let's not give out everything just yet.
Yeah, because there wasn't really this awe moment of, oh, the Nuggets did this to counter that. It wasn't really that. They did let LeBron shoot the three a lot more, and that turned out to be okay because LeBron has been pretty bad from the three-point line. I mean,
he has the worst three-point percentage in the playoffs.
Yeah, he missed all six of his threes last night, 0-for-3 mark in the fourth quarter. He had that, and then extended his streak of 19 straight threes he has failed to convert in the fourth this postseason. Tired. Let him shoot it in the fourth. I mean, he will eventually make them. He'll make some of them, but when he's worn out, because he's a physical player that likes to make his money going to the basket, getting into the paint. So I'll let him shoot still in the fourth. I'd keep letting him shoot. He'd be worn out.
So we talked the big matchup going into game two was the Murray defensive switch. I think the Nuggets handled that a little bit better.
Yeah, a little bit.
Could that have affected Gordon? Because now you're playing LeBron almost the entire time.
Yeah, that certainly could have. Yeah, I mean,
like, Aaron's a physical defender, but you just said LeBron's a different type of physicality.
Yeah, that could. I mean, that wears you down. You know, you're spending all of your mental and physical energy on the defensive side of the ball. But that, to me, that's the big adjustment you got to make, is maybe they do have it. Maybe they didn't pull it out last night. But, I mean, those were to me, it's like you got any kind of big adjustment you thought you had, you definitely want to win those two games at home. So you're pulling out all the stops to win those games.
I think on just the way this team is set up, Aaron Gordon is the fourth or fifth guy on the totem pole in terms of priorities.
So it goes Joker, Jamal, MPJ, KCP, Bruce Brown? Or KCP, then Gordon?
Yeah, just
so
in terms
Gordon's
of the starters.
Fifth. Okay.
So, like, you want to make sure, okay, what can we do for Jokic? Okay, that's working. Murray, what can we do for them? He's struggling a little bit. He found his shot in the fourth. Okay, now we know what Murray can do good against this team. MPJ, I would start looking at him a little bit more. How can we get him a couple more shots in the second half of games? And then I would look at KCP and Gordon. Obviously, those two guys are your defenders in your starting five. So now how can I implement them a little bit more to make this offense completely well-rounded so by the time you get to the finals, you're ready?
Yeah, that'll be the big... To me, that's the biggest key to the Nuggets winning in L.A. is how they utilize those priorities you just laid out there. And you didn't get to see the full scope of what that might look like because KCP really wasn't involved much until the third. But we all know that it takes time to get yourself into a game at times. And KCP never got that first look because he was in foul trouble so quickly.
I'll give flowers to KCP again. He deserves it. For being in a tough situation like that, to still be that voice in the huddle and
still
on the bench.
Pumping them up, telling Porter to stay aggressive.
Right. I mean, those are the little qualities that KCP brings that make him so valuable.
Yeah, he was, and that was a big deal because you need to have those vets. He was there. He won a title with the Los Angeles Lakers. You know, this guy has a lot of experience, whether he's out on the floor or not. That was just another big pickup for
Denver. He doesn't have an ego about it either.
No. No, this is you just got a great group out there that whether they're impacting the game physically or not, they can still be those voices on the bench. First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. Interesting point by McLean on the text line. Imagine how national media would treat Jokic if he played for the Lakers. We would hate him. Do you think we'd hate Nikola Jokic if he played for the Lakers? We wouldn't love him.
No.
We wouldn't know him.
He wouldn't be talked about as a great, even though the great center that he is. We see him as the best player. He would be, this is the next guy in the lines of Wilt and Kareem and Shaq.
Yeah.
And that's just, this is the Lakers' big man legacy is what it would be. Instead of Nikola Jokic is an absolute unicorn.
Yeah, the national media would know who he was. They'd be talking about him all the time. You wouldn't have any of the Mark Jackson, you know, Lisa Salters, none of that. Maybe even Perkins stuff. I don't know. Because I Kendrick Perkins did the whole race thing. Does he do the race thing if he's a Laker?
I'm not.
I don't know.
Is he in the MVP conversation if he's a Laker?
You know, if he plays like this, he would be.
If he was with LeBron?
Who knows? His whole career could have changed. He might not have been the guy.
That's so true.
It's weird to go back and look at that. But I think that the national media doesn't want to watch the Nuggets play basketball. That's just the way it is.
It's not flashy.
Looking for every reason to not give Nikola Jokic credit, it's saying they didn't watch him or blaming it on race.
They watch it for what Jamal Murray did in the fourth quarter. That's what the casual NBA fan wants to see.
That's what they want. ESPN wants what Jamal Murray did last night. They want Jamal Murray to be
their top story today.
Go back and look at the bubble. Jamal Murray, it's all they talked about was Jamal Murray. Because of his, he had monster games. He had 50-point games in those playoffs. He was a big reason why they made those comebacks. But you didn't want to talk about Joker. It was Jamal because it was flashy. I said it last night. He looks the part. He plays the part sometimes, not all the time. But when he does, if Jamal Murray did that every night, I guarantee you the Nuggets would be talked about a little more. Because when Carmelo Anthony played for the Nuggets, they weren't talked about a lot, but they were talked about. Melo was a scorer, was an attractive, typical basketball player as far as getting a lot of points in flashy ways.
Does Melo's story affect it? In that he was a great player when he was here, and then he left and never did much else.
And they didn't do too much at New York. You know, I mean, they made it to the playoffs a couple of times, but they didn't do too much.
Mm-mm.
But yeah, he was, especially when Chauncey came back, because Chauncey had went and won a title with Detroit, which is also not a big flashy market, but he still won a title. Then he comes back and you pair him with Carmelo. It's like, okay, there's reason to get excited about this team. J.R. Smith was fun to watch. But this is like the Spurs. That was a good point earlier by the text. You said, Chris, It does feel a lot like that. It took several championships. The Spurs got what? Five? Mm-hmm. And that took a lot for the national media to really start going in on that.
But even the Spurs kind of had separate sections of their dynasty.
Kind of, because the first championship they won was actually with Popovich. It was Tim Duncan and David Robinson.
Yep.
And then they won a couple with just their big three, with Parker, so Ginobili, and Duncan.
99.
That was the Twin Towers. That's what they called themselves.
And they did 03, 05, 07.
And that was just the three.
And then 2014 with Kawhi.
Yeah. Still one of the more underrated dynasties, I think, in all of sports is the Spurs. I mean, they were talked about a lot while they were going, started to. But
they were also, that was prime Kobe years.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. It was either the Spurs or the Lakers in those 2000, mid-2000s
like
or whatever.
2002 to like 2010.
Yeah, it was either Spurs or the Lakers. And Tim Duncan was not Duncan. Like he wasn't doing what you saw.
He played a different type of game.
Yes, very. And you right, the big fundamental. I mean, that's what he was. Very much, very similar to Joker in many ways. Joker is more of a passer.
He created a different mold. Jokic went into that mold and made it his own with the passing and the scoring and the rebounding.
Yeah, this is I'm not trying to get ahead of myself here, but if the Nuggets can finish this thing and they can beat Boston or Miami, I mean, you are having the discussion of are we seeing the beginning of a new dynasty? And there's a lot of work to do. I mean, the Lakers are going to I don't know if the Lakers will reload, to be honest. If the Nuggets knock them out of this thing, I don't see LeBron doing this full thing. I mean, he's not retiring because he has a goal to play with Bronny, but here's the dumb question. Does he consider taking a year off and then he comes back?
No, he couldn't do that.
He can't. Can he go another full season? He's playing on bad. I heard a report
yesterday.
He hasn't
played a full season in
That's
10
true.
Years.
You probably just say, okay, you're going to play 20 games next year and hope that we make it into the
He'll
playoffs.
Play enough to get his contract requirement, but
again, assuming
play 10 minutes a game,
assuming the Nuggets knock him out, if you're the Lakers, what are you doing in the offseason? Because this
They're firing their coach.
You think Darvin Ham's getting gone?
Oh, yeah,
dude, they just keep moving around. Isn't this his first year? Wow,
they fired Vogel after a championship
because it's whoever LeBron wants to have as coach. We could be seeing this, yeah, and again, I know I'm maybe putting the cart before the horse here, Joker. But
we're able to have the conversation without sounding foolish.
Yeah, this could be the beginning. And again, teams are going to reload. I don't know what Golden State's going to do. They can't stay like this forever, though. You know, they could run it back, but I don't see Jordan Poole on this roster, do you? I think they trade him. They can't if they can't keep Green and Poole. Clearly, there's something there that's you can't fix it. Irreconcilable differences. I cannot say it.
He's stuck in the shadow of Curry and Clay and Green.
Yeah.
Poole will never get to ascend to the point where he is thought of as the same as Clay and Steph.
No.
With that team.
I saw somebody had suggested, one of the national guys, that you're not going to be able to trade just Poole. You're going to have to package him with somebody, and it'd probably be Andrew Wiggins. Because you'd have to package him.
You just got him.
I know, and he's a big piece to what they're doing. But that's the thing. I'm like, who stands in the Nuggets' way? I'm not trying to talk like they've already won this thing, but just to recharge and even come back. If they don't win this thing, who stands in their way? What's Memphis? What's the future of Memphis now? Ja Morant, we don't know with that. He waved a gun, and now he could be missing a season, half
David
a season.
Roddy.
David Roddy take He's over. David Roddy's the future of the Memphis Grizzlies. Minnesota? They coming back? Anthony Edwards? They retool? They reload?
If they can get anything for Kat, maybe. But again, you're still dealing with Rudy Gobert.
The two big man thing doesn't work there. It does. The Nuggets, dude, Tim Conley should have known that. He tried it. He tried it with Joker and Yusuf Nurkic, but then he goes to Minnesota. He's like, I'm going to do the same thing. I'm going to put two centers on my starting five. And they traded everything to get Rudy Gobert. That was a silly move. That could cripple the future.
I would say Utah's a team to look out for in the future as they're building.
Is OKC?
Yeah, definitely.
OKC's
I think
coming
Phoenix,
on.
They're going to try to make a move, but without a coach, and if that doesn't gel again, or KD gets hurt for a long period of time, I don't know.
Still shocked they fired Monty Williams. I mean, give it some time to work. Here's my concern going forward for the Nuggets, if we are talking dynasty here, is the two teams that they, if they knock them out, if they knock the Lakers out, and even the Timberwolves to a certain extent, haven't figured out who they are yet. Kevin Durant, as they mentioned on the broadcast 4,000 times, this is only his 15th game. There's truth to that. That does take time to gel.
Kevin Durant's also in his mid-30s.
How long do you have, you know, to be in your prime? Kevin Durant did not look like an MVP caliber player for half the series or more than half.
I'd say so. Yeah.
Devin Booker looks the part. But the question I have is, okay, the Suns, or the concern I have, Suns are probably going to get better as they go because they're figuring each other out more. The Lakers, they had a fire sale at the trade deadline, retooled that entire lineup. So do they get better? Again, the concern there is LeBron James. That's your focal point, but he will be 39 next year. And Memphis has question marks. Utah maybe, but they're still not. I'm not looking at them going. And OKC, like, I'm not looking at those teams going, You're legitimate threats yet.
Dallas is up in the air still.
What are they going to do with Kyrie? That's a big question mark.
What
they feel a lot like Phoenix, two stars and everybody else.
You're hearing stuff about Portland. You know, are they going to make a try to do one last push with Damian?
Report is that they have the third pick. Mm-hmm. The report that a lot of reports I'm reading. That they are willing to trade that pick and get another monster player to pair with him and maybe Yusuf Nurkic. I don't know.
Even Yusuf isn't.
Nah. I like Yusuf, but
he's
not a star.
After his injury, he's not the same.
Broke that leg. I still like him and root for him. I don't know why, because he's an enemy, but I liked him. He was supposed to be the Nuggets' future. That didn't work out. Good thing for us. Yeah, does Portland come back? Does Portland get themselves into the playoffs again? They're going to try to go all in on this Damian Lillard thing.
Sacramento, they're going to be there for a bit.
Sacramento will be there, yeah. They'll be good. So then the question becomes, with the Nuggets, you know, as you're evaluating this series and the next series, hopefully, where can you get better, or do you run it all back? You gotta re-sign Bruce Brown. I don't know what that looks like. You know, again, that could put them over because they got monster contracts out there. Jamal's on a max. MPJ's on a max, Joker's on his max. I don't know if Gordon's on a max, but he's on a big contract. So you start looking around and going, do we have enough here? Because you're not, Jeff Green's probably not coming back. DeAndre Jordan's probably not coming back.
I think if they win this year, DeAndre will be gone, Jeff will be gone, and I think KCP would be satisfied as well. I think he'd be like, okay, I'm good.
And stay with this team?
No.
Oh.
Like, retire.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah.
I could see that. If not, you know, if they could find a deal, if they could, you know, work out a cheap deal for him, if he just likes playing with this team, which seems like he does. He tells himself he's the perfect fit for this team.
He really is. I mean, he's not lighting the world. So KCP's good for next season and the season after that. Okay. He is on a player option.
I think your starters are pretty much set.
Yeah, because you got Joker through 2028, and that's when the Rockies will be relevant at that point. That's what Jerry said. No, I'm joking. You got Jamal through 24, 25. So you got him next year and the year after that, and then you have to decide. 2 years will be interesting. Porter, you've got him locked up for a long time. He's about as long as Joker's. He's through 26, 27. Aaron Gordon, you've got him next year, the year after that, and then he has a player option. KCP, we mentioned him. Bruce Brown has a player option. So, right now, he would be set to make almost just a little under $7 million. Is he a $10 million guy? Is he plus? Is he more than that?
He's playing like it.
Ish Smith, free agent. Bye. Thank you for your service. You're 34. Jeff Green, he's a free agent.
Appreciate you.
Thanks, Jeff. Thank you, Uncle Jeff. We had some great moments. Christian Brown, obviously, is on his rookie contract. Zeke Nagy, he's got a team option coming up. He's set to make $4 million next year.
He's potential trade block guy.
Chanchar, he's contracted through next year, and then the year after that, team option. So he ain't going anywhere. Peyton Watson's on his rookie deal. Thomas Bryant, thank you for your service. DeAndre Jordan, thank you for your service. Appreciate you, man. Reggie Jackson, even though you got minutes last night,
there you go.
Appreciate your service.
did like one thing.
Yeah.
Got like maybe half a rebound.
I don't even know. I was like, oh no. Oh no. Is this series really turning into this?
Mind games.
It was all mind games. So the priority would be Bruce Brown, first off.
Yeah, Bruce for sure, but you have the ability to just, if you can boost your bench and make it so you could put all five of your starters out and still feel comfortable, that would be the focus.
What is the salary cap, Angel, next year? Do we know the answer to that? Because they're over it right now. And that's what I don't understand about the people that work the contracts. They are paying out, this year, they're paying out $159 million in contracts, and the salary cap is $123.
Let's see. No, that's from last September.
So I don't understand how the salary cap works. There's a luxury tax and all of that stuff. But it's just a very complicated thing, and this is a sports. I mean, they have a salary cap, and then they finagle it and figure out how to make it work for them by backloading and guarantees and luxury tax and all of that.
The NBA has informed teams that the 2023-24 salary cap is currently projected to be $134 million.
And right now,
10.4 higher than this season.
And the Nuggets are paying out $168 million.
With $162 million tax level.
So they're six over?
So you're a little over the cap.
And that's without Bruce Brown's contract. Or that's with $6.8 million. So you know that's going to have to go higher. Where do you shave here? That's the thing.
Can you restructure?
You're going to have to with somebody.
With the mentality that MPJ has shown me, that's a guy that I could sit down in an office and say, hey, let's restructure this a bit. If you're really committed to just, we want the team to win, then you'd be willing to talk to renegotiate.
Yeah, because Joker's at 46, almost 47.
His MVP contract hasn't hit yet. Has it?
No, it hits next year. That's because it's 47 next year. 50, 54, 58, 61.
Oof.
62, basically, if you want to round up.
Nah.
Dude.
It's worth it.
You can buy a lot of horses with that. Many horses.
You could have an all Jokic horse race.
You could. And just, you always win because they're your horses. Jamal set to make 33. Is Jamal worth 30? Nah, he ain't restructuring, but. Michael Porter Jr. is the same, 33. Gordon's at 21. So there's no consideration of moving on from any of those five guys, right? Do you bring those guys back?
Yeah.
So that's where you're in trouble.
2 years down the line, you're thinking right now in terms of your starters.
Well, we need to get this figured out because I don't understand it. You're 168. You said the luxury tax hit is 62, right?
162.
So they can be at 162. That means they'd have to shave off $6 million right now, but that's without Jeff Green's contract in the books because he's a free agent. So you still got to fill your bench unless you're comfortable with Peyton Watson, Chan Char, Christian Brown, and then you do whatever you can do to get Bruce. But I don't know. That's fancy feet moves, man. It's interesting to talk about.
It's future problems.
It's our future Nuggets problems. Go win the title now. 29 minutes after the hour. Let's take a quick break. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Catch KFKA's own Jerry Schimmel back on the call for the Colorado Rockies on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is your UNC Bears head men's basketball coach, Steve Smiley, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA. Go Bears!
Just 34 minutes after the 1 o'clock hour. Welcome back into the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. Our tight-knit brewing poll question of the day. Who is the best coach in Nuggets history? When you make runs like this, you start thinking about stuff like this, man. You start thinking about the history around this team. And, you know, Michael Malone. Right now, look where the Hooligans are going. 43% saying Doug Moe. 31% saying George Karl. 18% has Michael Malone there, and then just 6% saying Larry Brown at this stage. Doug Moe's probably, to be fair, probably still there at number one. I was sure of it that it was Michael Malone, but when he made the playoffs every year, he was the head coach for the Nuggets. And then, you know, he went far in those playoffs too. So I don't know. I think it's probably still Doug Moe, because his first year they lost to the Suns in the first round. Second year lost in the conference semifinals. Third year they lost. They made it to the Western Conference Finals. I mean, they were always going deep, somewhat deep, middle round kind of deal. So he's got a case for it. Obviously, if Malone gets the title or even just wins two more games in the series here, he's the guy. I would think so. Never been to an NBA Finals. Kind of crazy. You're two games away. You're two games away from going, two wins away from doing something your franchise has never done. And that's getting into an NBA Finals. 36 minutes after the hour. Let's jump out real quick and get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
This is Joel Cantalamessa from RamNation.com. You're listening to The Hull Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Nikola Jokic in the last 10 playoff games. Look at this. Just the point total. 23, 34, 32, 29, 53, 30, 39, 24, 28, 43. Rebounds, 17, 21, 10, 13, 4. 4 was when he had the 53.9. 17, 16, 19, 17, 11. Twelve assists, 14 assists, 12 assists, 12 assists, 11 assists, 17 assists, 5 assists, 5 assists, 12 assists, 6 assists. It's ridiculous. Malone's right to be upset about this. You know, he's right, because there you got a guy that's doing something that nobody's really ever doing and touching, and the national narrative is ESPN's was LeBron. The Lakers let another one slip.
You know, you put that in your pipe, you smoke it.
I'm glad he called it out. Seriously, ESPN, picture of LeBron losing the ball in the dunk, saying Lakers let another one slip away.
First Take headline today was, should LeBron stop shooting threes? Which, no, he shouldn't.
No, we want him. We keep shooting threes, please.
The greatest of all time, right?
Yeah, keep no, shooting. LeBron, we love you, man.
Kobe wouldn't have stopped shooting.
No, yeah, Jordan would have until he went and played baseball, but that's another point.
You're not shooting in baseball.
It's true. It's very true. Is the 38-year-old thing add to LeBron, like, the legacy when you're comparing him and Jordan? Is there anything he can do, aside from winning a championship, that would make you lean in on that narrative? I don't know where you are, actually. Are you Jordan or LeBron?
I am Jordan.
So does this – I was talking about it in the before the show today with Tanner and Brian out there. And, you know, Tanner's like, I don't know, man. The fact that he's playing at this age, still in the Western Conference Finals, that kind of stuff might help him in this debate.
Well, I'm hearing, you know, it would be better for LeBron to lose now than to lose in the finals in terms of his legacy.
Why? What is it?
Because that would be another finals that he's made it to and lost, and he'd be like 4-11 or whatever.
Yeah, I respect LeBron. I had an appreciation tweet that I was going to put out last night with LeBron, and it wouldn't load, and then I just deleted it. So it's fine. I didn't need it.
We can respect his greatness. He is one of the best players whoever did it.
And he does the right things. Like, he doesn't get into trouble. He seems like he treats his body like a temple. Like, he's a pretty clean dude, man. Yeah. I mean, he should be. He's very political, which that can be annoying sometimes.
So you talk about him just as a basketball player, as a father, as a man who was very influential within his communities, as a leader, you know, you give him his props for it.
Yeah, as far as all those things, he's never in the limelight for a negative reason. Again,
there's no scandals.
No,
or drama.
No scandals. He's political. He's a little dramatic, but those are
that you can separate that from the rest of what
he does. Yeah, you can. He's a heck of a player. He's an amazing player. He's one of the greats, but I'm still going Jordan. You know, Jordan, in that eight-year run when they won those six, and then he takes a break and then comes back and wins another six, that to me is phenomenal. And a lot of people like to point out when he went to Washington, that was like 5 years after he'd retired or something, and then he came back.
We don't talk about Washington.
He averaged like 23 points a game. Jimmy Butler numbers.
That was 45, Michael. That wasn't 23.
Why did he? I forgot why he went with 45.
It's in the documentary. The next step or something?
I don't remember. He went with 45 for a moment when he came back, and then he put 23 back on. I don't think he wore it for very long. And I always used to think the basketball cards with him were very rare if you had that. They printed the crap out of those, dude. They were everywhere because they thought we would think that and buy them. Buy them by the bundle. I still believe that if LeBron would have stuck, or if LeBron, if Michael would have stayed instead of playing baseball, you'd be talking about eight championships. If Jerry Krause hadn't decided to break this thing up at the beginning of the run of that last dance, the whole premise of the documentary, I still think that they could win another one or two.
So his reasoning was when he came back, he didn't want to play in the last number that his father had seen him wore. But he did have to wear 12 for a game.
He did? I didn't know that. I didn't know that.
He did have to wear number 12 for one game.
I completely forgot about that or didn't. I don't recall it. But he didn't wear 45. How many games did he play in 45?
I think it says when he wore it out of retirement, so I'd assume when he was with Washington.
No, he came back and wore it right after because his dad died during his first his third championship season. His dad
when
died.
He returned in March 1995.
Yeah, and so he wore it then because he left to go play baseball when his dad was gone, right around that time. His dad was kind of like, but when he was still alive, that was a very interesting documentary, you know, because then there was the conspiracy that his gambling. The negative conspiracy was that his gambling had something to do with his father's death and that it was illegal, all the stuff that was going on. And then Stern, the commissioner at the time, it was the...
He did again, 23 for the Wizards.
Yeah, again, the conspiracy was that Stern had talked to Jordan and basically suspended him for two seasons, and that's why he went to play baseball. Obviously, Stern, Jordan, everybody around that story says it's ridiculous, and it probably is. It's unfortunate that Jordan had to, you know, if that's all not true and the gambling had nothing to do with his father's death, that is terrible of the media and the coverage around him. That's part of the reason he left.
45 was the first number he wore in high school.
There you go. There we go. We got that figured out. Who do you like tonight? Miami or Boston?
I do like Boston to bounce back and win this game. Miami's obviously a very talented team. My concern with them is can they really keep it going? Watching the Eastern Conference play basketball, it's so different.
It is much different. It's a lot of individual. It's a lot, you know.
The bigs aren't as active. I know, you know, Horford and Bam are very good, but they don't.
Williams is a good boarder, you know.
They don't do the things that Jokic and AD do. In terms of big man basketball.
No, if the Nuggets end up playing Boston, then Williams trying to guard Joker is going to be interesting. Al Horford, will he play? Will they try to do something? Again, we're getting ahead of ourselves. I like Boston tonight.
I do too. I like them to protect home court. I could see this series going back and forth up to seven.
Yeah. Yeah, I could. I've been doing it all year. I can't buy into Miami. I just think Boston, it should be the complete team. They should win. So we'll find out. 47 minutes after the hour, what did we learn today? Coming up next, it's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Start your day with Good Morning NoCo with Brian Gary and Tanner Schwint on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Chris Abshire, Fort Collins, Colorado, and you are listening to the whole show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
The next time you get angry over a bad play, remember you need teamwork to win, not arguments.
Now we know.
And knowing is half the battle.
Hey, hey, what do you say? We all had a say.
this 19th day of May, I learned that Jamal Murray is Superman. It just furthers my belief there. Sometimes he's Clark Kent, but he can change into Superman. And I'm also not going to try. I'm going to try not to get as upset at the national media because it's laughable at this point. So I learned to probably just let some of this crap go because it's pretty bad.
Yeah. Jokic said it last night post-game. They don't care about it. They just don't. It's not on their minds. They're focused on winning a championship. And I think we as their fans should also be focused on that.
Yeah, because Jamal said it too. He's like, they talk about them when we win. They'll talk about them if we lose. It's there's no point.
Don't make it about them. It's about us.
Yeah, it's at this time you just have to, because it's laughable. Like I said, you know, this is how it's going to continue to go. It's going to be the Lakers loss, not the Nuggets won. That's just the way it is. First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. Okay, we did not get to our movie review this week, so we are going to do Caddyshack next week.
Caddyshack.
Have you seen it?
It's been a while.
It's been a while for me. It's on Comedy Central a lot, so I'll keep it on there for a second, then when it goes to commercial.
It's Chevy Chase is in this?
Chevy Chase, Bill Murray.
Okay, yeah. Yeah.
I don't remember who else. Did you see all the previews for White Men Can't Jump last night?
Yeah. I might give it a shot.
Really?
I might just give it a shot just to see. It's probably not going to pass the original.
I have zero interest.
I just want to see. Because it looks like it's basically the same story.
It's like the same movie. Like they even do the car scene when Gloria jumps on top of Woody Harrelson.
Mm-hmm.
They're trying to do the same thing. I'm like, you're doing a remake. What are you going to do, shot for shot here? What's the point of remaking it?
I mean, it's not really a safe thing to do.
It's not. You're promoting very reckless driving. And in this day and age, you know, we're very impressionable by everything we watch on television.
Yeah.
So you got to be careful. Oh, and what's with the song at the beginning of this series? Did you see it? Played it now? I don't know who the girl is. She was in a Nationwide ad or something.
I don't get it.
I don't know who it is, but it's like a soft melody. It's not like...
It's not hype.
It's not hype. It's not like, Rihanna, we're going to run this town tonight. I need
guitars and drums.
Something.
And some heavy metal.
Or, I'll even give you hip hop if you want, but make it like, you know, a pump up song. This is like, it's almost like the national anthem playing before the game. I'm not knocking the national anthem, but I don't
It doesn't get you in the mood for a playoff.
Right. I don't use the national anthem as the pump up song. You know, some people might, but that's not, when I hear the, you know, dun, 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 that kind of stuff. That's the pump up stuff. I'm about to go nappy time. You know, it's like one shining moment. I'm not a big one shining moment guy.
No.
March Madness and all that. All right, so game three tomorrow, 6:30 again.
In the words of MPJ, good win, take care of business in LA because the job's not over.
They winning tomorrow night. You got them?
Let's go Nuggets.
You going with the win tomorrow night?
Let's go.
They win tomorrow night. I think they might lose Monday, but I don't know. I may feel differently. They win tomorrow night, though. They go up 3-0. We're talking about finals. We're doing it. All right, that'll do it for us. Good night, Northern Colorado.